content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorn Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Higher, baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Junior, happy Workout Wednesday.
Yes, I know. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Yeah, I've got Butters. I got Butters in here with me on top of the desk.
He's not hitting buttons today or anything?
No, that was Dean actually hitting the buttons
yesterday.
I know. Well, there's a lot of them. But yesterday in the middle of the show, I didn't say anything. I just kind of, put my hand underneath him and sent him flying off the desk. Not in a mean way, but.
No, I get it.
We were right in the middle of the broadcast and he jumped up and he stepped right on the Comrex and disconnected me for just a second. But what I think happened, because it happened so quick, is his other paw hit and then put it right back in. But I had to contact Paul after the show, who is one of our engineers here at iHeartMedia, and he told me how to fix it. I get so freaked out about touching buttons,
especially when we're live
on the air. It's like, oh my gosh.
And usually with the radio equipment too, they make everything all flashy and stuff. So I get it. It's a little intimidating.
It is. But you know what? I'm not intimidated today because we've got a fantastic show today. We've got Dave Asprey coming up at the half. I love this guy. He's the founder and chairman of Bulletproof 360, a high performance coffee, a food company. Most people out there know the brand, but he's also creator of the wildly popular Bulletproof coffee, which I've got Bulletproof tea right now. I already had my Bulletproof coffee. I did two cups and now I've got my Bulletproof tea. But then we have another amazing guy who's with us right now, Alain Moussi. He is one of Hollywood's real life hard hitting action heroes, starring in leading films including Jiu Jitsu, Kickboxer, Vengeance, and Kickboxer Retaliation, transitioning from stuntman and fight choreographer on huge blockbuster hits including Shazam, Suicide Squad, and X-Men Dark Phoenix, just to name a few. Alain has taken his 25 plus years of martial arts training, his Hollywood action hero experience, and his love for fitness to create K2XFit, a transformational fitness app for all levels. Can't wait to hear all about it. When Alain is not acting, choreographing fights, or falling out of buildings, he is running his thriving martial arts school, MX Martial Arts and Fitness, and spending time with his daughter, Annabelle, at their home in Canada. His website is k2xfit.com or Instagram at Alain Moussi, and that's spelled A-L-A-I-N-M-O-U-S-S-I. Alain, such an honor to have you on the show. How are you doing today? Welcome to One Life Radio.
Hello, and oh my God, what an intro. That's incredible.
Thank you so much. Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm so excited to have you on the show. I really am. And so, my trainer, Tina Burnett, and I were watching some of your, YouTube videos yesterday, and our eyes were just popping out of our head. We can't even believe how fit you are. It's incredible.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I love
doing it. Yeah, obviously you do because you're excellent. I'd say you're at the top of your field, the number one Hollywood probably, right? Hollywood stunt guy. So how did you become interested in martial arts? When did that begin? Did you know that you wanted to be in action films when you started training?
Yeah, I mean, I got interested in martial arts because I saw Bloodsport. That was what got me going. I mean, I had tried karate in the past and then didn't stick to it. And then all of a sudden I saw Bloodsport. I was 10 years old. And I was so impressed with what Van Damme did in terms of the kicks, the splits, and the physique, everything. So it was like the total package for me. And I just had to be like him. So I started training in martial arts. My mom was already training in jiu-jitsu.
Oh, wow.
So she did my first introductory class. And that's how I got in. And for some odd reason, I connected to the idea that there was some guy, his name was Jean-Claude Van Damme, whose his job was to make action movies. And not just the idea of his characters. I love the characters, but this guy, his job is to do that. And as soon as I got into all these action films, my dad introduced me to Bruce Lee and then, you know, Stallone and Schwarzenegger. I'm like, if I would have anything I wanted to do, it would be exactly that. I want to be an action star. That was the whole thing.
I think so many boys do, and 10 is about the age that they start. You know, Junior, I'm going to pull you in here. Did you ever think about being, you know, did you ever take karate when you were a young boy? I know you were into, you know, other stuff, but did you ever, entertain martial arts?
Yeah, I mean, I tried it for a little while, and it was the same thing. I saw a movie, and honestly, I think it was a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, you know, and I saw something. I was like, Mom, I got to do that, you know, and I think I lasted like 3 months, though.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Well, you know, it's funny how we can be so inspired by films, both boys and girls. And so, Elaine, your mom was a mixed martial artist first. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she was practicing Japanese jiu-jitsu, and which was a self-defense based system, striking and grappling, kind of everything combined. And that's what I got into first. And later on, I trained, you know, with her and with other instructors. And then later on, I got into Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And it just so happens my Brazilian jiu-jitsu mentor lives in Dallas. It's Carlos Machado. And I've been training with the Machado brothers since early 2000s. And I've been to Dallas before, and I was actually to train with Carlos.
Wow. Well, then I bet you know Guy Mesker, too.
Who? Sorry?
Guy Mesker? He's a world champion. Yes. He's like into mixed martial arts. He's a local hero too. And then I also know another guy who does what you do, Freddie Poole. He does stunt work, mostly in Atlanta, but a lot of guys here in Dallas are into that. They are. But you know, I watched a video showing you preparing for your film Kickboxer, Kickboxer Vengeance. So. And your balance is just incredible. Tina and I were going, wow, we watched you on a BOSU ball doing like, I guess you don't call it a ball. It's a BOSU, just a BOSU. But for people that don't know what that is, it's like a, what is it, Elaine? Can you explain it to our listeners?
It's like a half ball. It's like half a ball. And then with a little platform on top. So the top part is squishy a bit. And then the top part is firm. So when you put it upside down and with the firm part up top, you can balance on it. And it just, I started training on it because of a rehab. I was rehabbing an injured ankle. And my trainer at the time, Phil, he's like, okay, well, this is what we should do. We should get you on a BOSU ball and start working different balance exercises to rehab your ankle. And as we're doing this one day, I'm just standing on one foot and I lifted the other foot and I started kicking. And he was like, oh my God, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I feel like this would really work my balance. Like this would be amazing to work kicks. And all of a sudden we started doing all kinds of crazy stuff on the BOSU ball using kick drills to rehab my ankle and at the same time keep on practicing my kicks and my balance. It's really cool.
Well, you know, I've had this long time injury in my hamstring, and I re-injured it again just a few days ago when I was training. And I was thinking about you and how many injuries have you had over your career so far, and how difficult is it for you to recover from them? How long did it take you to recover from the injury? From the ankle injury?
Well, you know, I've been pretty fortunate. I haven't had too many serious injuries, just, you know, bumps, bruises, that kind of stuff, and a sprain here, but not too much. That ankle injury was from when I was working on this movie called Warcraft, and I had injured my ankle training and all that kind of stuff, but kept on working on the movie nonstop just because I was stubborn. So later on, it kind of dragged along. So it wasn't like a crazy, I could still kind of walk on and everything, but it's just I had to rehab all the muscles around my ankle to balance out everything else, because that affected my knee and my back. Anyways, so, but I've been, all this to say, I've been very fortunate. My recovery is really good too. And like, typically I recover very fast from workouts. And I think it's from being so consistent over many years.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what happens when you're consistent. You tend to, your recovery time is less, and you don't have to start all over again. You know what I mean? And that's one of the reasons I never stopped training. Right. I want to stay on top of my game. And at the same time, I feel like it's easier to maintain than it is to start over.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that your diet is meticulous. I mean, you've got like zero body fat, pretty much, as you're like solid muscle. No, seriously, have you guys, look them up, go to YouTube and check out Elaine Moosey. It's just incredible, your balance. So how important is balance in martial arts?
It's very important. I mean, especially in the kicking game, where I was really into, obviously, you know, following Jean-Claude, and I became obsessed with kicking. So in order to kick properly and have proper control, and you know, you really want to have that balance. And even when you get into throwing as well, I mean, throwing, understanding how to work your center of gravity properly, whether it's low or high, I mean, it's so important when it comes to breaking somebody else's balance. So, you know, it's one of those elements that you can never get good enough at. You know, the better you are, the better you are at everything else, essentially. It just flows into your entire game, whether it's striking, throwing, or grappling.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. We're going to go for a quick break. Stay tuned, everyone. More coming up with Elaine Moosey. He is Hollywood's real-life hard-hitting action hero. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Oh!
On Facebook, hit like and follow us at One Life Radio.
All right. Everybody ready? Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior and Elaine Moosey. He is Hollywood's real-life hard-hitting action hero, a hero starring in leading films including Jiu-Jitsu, Kickboxer Vengeance, and Kickboxer Retaliation, transitioning from stuntman and fight choreographer on huge blockbuster hits including Shazam, Suicide Squad, and X-Men Dark Phoenix, just to name a few. When Elaine is not acting or choreographing fights, he is falling out of buildings, and he is running his thriving martial arts school, NX Martial Arts and Fitness, and spending time with his daughter Annabelle at their home in Canada. His website is k2xfit.com. That's k2xfit.com, or on Instagram at Elaine Moosey. Elaine, so, you know, your movies are nonstop action, which has to be really hard on you physically. So how long will you typically train before starting a new film, and how else do you prepare for a role?
Well, you know, I number one, physically, I'm always training. And then as soon as I get like close, about 6 weeks out of the movie, I ramp it up and train specifics based on what I'm trying to achieve for that film. So if it's like for fitness it's about the physique, and for the martial arts, it depends on what kind of martial arts I'm going to be doing, or what kind of skills I'm going to be working in the movie. So for kickboxer, for example, I'm working a lot more striking. And then for jiu-jitsu, I was working a lot as well, throwing and locking and all that kind of stuff too, and grappling on the ground. So, you know, my martial arts training kind of goes, I tailor my martial arts training towards what I'm about to perform. And physically, what's most important to me when I train is I have to train in a way where I can keep on doing fight teams all day long, sometimes for 2, 3, 4 days at a time.
Wow.
Like the end fight for Kickboxer Retaliation, we shot for, I think, 5 days straight, 12-hour days of fighting, essentially. So it's like doing a 12-hour day of circuit training.
Oh, gosh.
So my training, the K2X Fit training that we do is basically that, is circuit training. And the reason that it's so effective for me is that, number one, it's very functional. And number two is you're doing quick spurts, and then you have quick recovery, quick spurts and quick recovery. So it kind of mimics what I do on set when we have to do a sequence. So I'd go hard for one quick sequence, and then we get a break. Sequence, get a break. And also I need to make sure that I'm fast, I'm explosive, I can jump. So all the training I do is to make sure that I can perform all the skills I need to perform on set, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, I want to hear about this app, the K2X Fit. It's designed around 3 pillars of success. What are they?
So 3 pillars of success is, number one, fitness, number two, nutrition, and number three, which is to me the most important one, is accountability. So important, because often, you know, we get one, we start training, get tired, I don't want to go today, you know, you're not accountable to anybody, so it's fine. I'm eating really well for 3 weeks and it's going super well, and yeah, but I really want to have that ice cream, or I want to have, you know, that glass of wine or whatever. And I'm only accountable to myself. So, you know, I have the little angel and the devil on my shoulders, and that's it. So it's easy to fall off the wagon when you're not accountable to anybody else but yourself, right? So that's what K2X Fit is. It's all about the accountability for the training and nutrition that you're doing.
Well, it takes incredible discipline to do what you do, both from fitness, nutrition, and accountability, like you said. From a health and fitness perspective, how do martial arts differ from other fitness methods?
I mean, it's functional fitness, right? So you're not only, you know, getting in shape, but you're learning a skill, which is what I love. I love that about martial arts. And this is why it's always what I'd love to do. It's because, you know, let's say you're learning kickboxing while you're working on the bag, you're working with a partner, you're learning the skills of kickboxing, but you're also getting in top-notch shape at the same time. And same thing for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So if you need that extra, I guess, extra thing to keep you motivated in order to keep on training, well, martial arts is a great way to do it, because you are learning a skill, and it's got that extra incentive there to keep on going, you know?
Oh, yeah. You could kill somebody, couldn't you, easily? Right?
emotionally, I could not. Physically, you never know, but emotionally, I don't think I could handle that. It would be hard on me.
No, I know, not at, well, yeah, only in self-defense, but I mean, the
of
really,
course,
I mean,
course,
you
yes.
could like drop a guy like a fly if you wanted to, right?
I'm a lethal weapon.
Junior, what do you, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So what does a typical day on the set look like for you? For instance, like, how many hours will you fight per day? And is the fighting as dangerous as it looks on screen? I would just think that you would get injured all the time.
Well, you know, everything is choreographed and planned and rehearsed. So, I mean, that keeps it safe. And everything is a calculated risk. For jiu-jitsu, for example, I mean, you know, let's say fighting with Nick Cage in one of our scenes, I mean, it's obviously we have positive contact. Tell Nick, you know, when there's a hit, I want you to touch. So all that is, you know, is real. But it's controlled, you know, and I know it's coming, so I can prepare for it. Same thing when I fall, like in this fight, I fall through a hole and down into a cave, and I bounce off different rocks and into the ground. It's about, you know, I don't know, 20 feet. So all this stuff I've been doing since I was a kid, you know, working on break falls and understanding air sense, doing acrobatics. So, you know, it's taking all these skills that I've acquired over the years by training in like countless hours and then putting them together, which looks very risky. But obviously, like I said, it's a very controlled risk, right?
Yeah.
And then a typical day, I mean, on a typical day, we might do a fight scene all day, or, you know, we might do half a day of fighting and then half a day of dialogue. So it really depends on the day and what we're trying to do that day. But it ends up usually being between, you know, anywhere between 12 and 15 hours on set, especially in these, like, our movies are the high-level independent films. So it's not like you get, you know, $100 million to take your time on set and to do 2 pages a day type thing, right? So because I've been on those sets, and we do more in a day than most productions, like the big blockbusters, do in 4 or 5. So
wow.
just because we have to. We can't stop. You know, and it really helps that I do it on my own and I don't have a stunt double.
Yeah, well, and you, what's it like working with Nicolas Cage? I haven't thought of this movie in years, but one of my favorite movies is, and you've probably never seen it. You were probably a kid when it came out, but Raising Arizona, Junior, do you remember that movie?
I remember it, but I did not see it.
Oh my gosh!
I do know what you're talking about, though.
It's old. It's an old one, but it is so funny. Elaine, you should watch it and talk with Nicolas about it. It was one of his first movies.
Definitely.
It's called Raising Arizona. It is hysterical. I don't know what year it came out, but anyway. So you know, with all of your experience, how do you stay so motivated, and how can you help others to stay motivated?
Well, I mean, you know, it's also, for me, it started as a kid, goal setting. You know, we go back to martial arts, training in martial arts, you have a belt system. And, you know, you have the long-term goal, which is the black belt, and then you have the short-term goal that's every belt in between. So you kind of automatically start setting these goals because that's what our instructors tell you. Your goal is to be a black belt. And then but the first step is your yellow belt, and then your next step is your orange belt. So you start setting all these goals. So for me, even in everyday life, all the time, I'm always setting these new goals for myself. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking forward. So I've achieved this, what's next? And I always have this long-term goal and with a whole bunch of steps in between, which are my short-term goals. And that's kind of how I stay motivated, by pushing forward, you know, and celebrating the wins. I think that's a major thing. A lot of people, you know, they say, hey, if you look at weight loss, I want to lose 50 pounds. And if you're not at 50, you're like, oh, you kind of feel bad. And I'm like, no, if you've lost one, celebrate. If you've lost five, celebrate again. And celebrate every single win along the way, because the journey is what's important. And there's tons of wins in that journey. And then you know what? There's also obstacles and there's, you know, failures. But you know what? A failure is just another step to another win. So
I like that.
That's kind of how I see it all. And that's how I keep myself going. Because you know what? Before I did kickboxer or before I got in the film industry, I also got a lot of doors shut in my face. Trust me, it's all part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's how can you take those shutting doors and say, I don't give a crap, and then just keep on going to the next door to see if it's going to open for you and keep on working those skills and keep on doing what you need to do in order to get where you want to be. So
yeah.
I see it that way.
I love that. What a great message. And so what's coming up next for you? What are you doing next?
So right now I just signed for this cool action movie that we're going to shoot going in the fall, actually. It's really cool. It's written by Kevin Grevieux, which is one of the co-writers of Underworld, the Underworld series. But I just signed on a movie with an awesome action movie with him. It's really, really cool. It hasn't been announced yet, actually. This is the first time I actually talked about it.
Oh, nice. All right.
But they're announcing it very soon. So it's going to be a big announcement coming in the next few weeks. So
oh,
there's
wow.
that coming up, but I also have Kickboxer 3, Kickboxer Armageddon, which is our final installment of the trilogy, our first trilogy, which is coming again late this year or early in 2022. That's also in development right now. I've read the script. It's awesome. It's really cool. So I can't wait to do that as well. And a few little things along the way as well. So yeah, tons of fun stuff coming up.
No, that's really cool. And so your daughter, Annabelle, how old is she? And is she into martial arts yet? Have you gotten her a little karate suit?
Yeah, I have. I think she's 9 years old. You know what? She's really into hockey. She's a goalie.
Really?
She loves the position of a goalie, which I'm like, oh my God, to me it would be the most stressful position because, you know, in the end it all kind of relies on you too. You can blame yourself very easily when you let a puck in, right? So no, she loves being a goalie. So that's what she got it really into. Because my nieces are both into competitive hockey. So that's how Annabelle decided that's what she wanted to do. But this year, around Christmas time, she said, Daddy, I really want to learn some martial arts. Will you teach me? And I'm like, oh that's
nice.
Cool. Because she sees me kick around and all kind of stuff. So we started training together in this lockdown. I have my club. So I feel very grateful that I get to still go in and I can use the space for me and Annabelle. And I started teaching her myself. And she's enjoying it. She's loving it. So it's really cool.
Oh, I'm sure she is. Daughters love their dads. They just do. They're their own personal action hero. What a treat to have you on the show, Elaine. It really was such a treat. And, you know, you take care of yourself. Stay injury-free if you can. And have a wonderful day. And thank you so much for jumping on One Life Radio with us.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me, and thank you for that incredible intro. That's
welcome. Thank you. I'm known for them. I'm famous for my intros. Okay, I'm glad you loved it.
All right.
Thank you so much, Elaine. You're welcome. Elaine Moosey, everyone. Check out his website at k2xfit.com or Instagram, Elaine Moosey. We'll be right back with Dave Asprey. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Are you ready, everybody? Welcome back. You are listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior and Dave Asprey. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Okay, so Dave Asprey, if you don't know who he is the founder and chairman of Bulletproof 360, a high-performance coffee and food company, and creator of the widely popular Bulletproof Coffee. I've got my Bulletproof tea right now with my XCT oil in it from Bulletproof. He is a four-time New York Times best-selling author, host of the Webby Award-winning podcast Bulletproof Radio, and has been featured on the Today Show, Fox News, Nightline, CNN, and dozens more over the last two decades. Dave has the father of biohacking, has worked with world-renowned doctors, researchers, scientists, and global mavericks to uncover the latest, most innovative methods, techniques, and products for enhancing mental and physical performance. His websites are DaveAsprey.com or FastThisWay.com, Instagram at Dave.Asprey. Such an honor to have you back. Dave, how you doing today?
Yeah, we're still trying to get him on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I gave him a great intro, right?
Yeah, no, well, definitely. Yeah, I've been calling. I don't know what's going on. It's just going straight to a busy signal. So I'm trying to work
that
on
happens.
That. So yeah, we're gonna see if we can get him to call. I don't know if there's something wrong with our phones or his, but just give me a second. We'll get him on.
Yeah, it happens. Okay, so you know, I always have backup stuff to talk about. You know, it's kind of just what I do in instances like this. And you know, I get a newspaper in the mail every week. It's called Epic Times, and I always I'm not so much into the politics part of it, but I love their mind and body section of the Epic Times. And so let's talk about this. So here's a traditional Chinese medicine, when food is medicine, and it talks about how healthy food nurtures the body and helps us combat illness. And who doesn't want that? And so, you know, the writer of this particular piece, Lynn Jaffe, says this: I was an incredible picky eater as a kid. Dinner time was a stressful battle between me, my parents, and the green stuff on my plate, most of which came from a can or the freezer and was cooked to within an inch of its life. It wasn't until I discovered spinach salad with creamy ranch dressing that my life turned around. It was a breakthrough moment that allowed me to add foods like red bell peppers, strawberries, arugula, and kale to my diet, and I like them. So he talks about Chinese food therapy has long known what modern nutritional research is now unraveling, that good food is effective medicine. And it goes on to say that I'm thankful that my pickiness in the past, because as an acupuncturist and practitioner of Chinese medicine, food plays a huge role in the healing process. And I don't know about anybody out there listening, but I take my food very serious. And Junior, you let me know when Dave Asprey's
he's on hold.
Oh, he's on hold.
Yep.
Okay, good.
I'll just let
let's go. Let's go straight to Dave. All right, Dave Asprey. I gave you this great intro. How you doing today, Dave?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. I saw you on another podcast yesterday, looking good, looking healthy, looking well, and very excited about your new book, Fast This Way, Burn Fat, Heal Inflammation, and Eat Like the High-Performing Human You Were Meant to Be. And the book is doing tremendously well, isn't it?
It's been in the New York Times for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
More than 30,000 people have joined the fasting training that I'm giving for free along with the book. So yeah, I would say it's hit a nerve.
Yeah, it's doing really well. So, you know, you're the father of biohacking. And so one of my first questions is, what was your first biohack?
Wow. The definition of biohacking when I first created it was the art and science of changing the environment around you and inside of you so that you have full control of your own biology. And the question is, how do you know what works? So even when I was, you know, a fat high schooler, I hit 300 pounds by the time I was in my early 20s. I was trying to exercise, and you could say exercise is a biohack. Problem was, even though I worked out 6 days a week, an hour and a half a day, I stayed fat even after doing it for more than a year. So that was an attempted biohack. It just failed. So biohacking is about, hey, let's measure whether it's working. And if it doesn't work, let's change it up until we get the results we want. And we have the energy we want. We have the brains we want. And as a side effect, maybe we get some abs.
Yeah. I forgot that you were a little chubby when you were
younger. I was more a little chubby. I was fat.
Okay. So you were a little fat.
What
you
know, I still have stretch marks.
You know, it's okay. You know, but that's got to be a very humbling experience as well, because you have an incredible personality. You've got a great sense of humor. So don't you think that that's really added and helped you to understand people better so that you can be the incredible communicator that you are?
If I hadn't have gone through pretty much all the diseases of aging before I was 30, pre-diabetes, cognitive dysfunction, arthritis, high risk of stroke and heart attack, there's no way I would have been motivated to spend the more than a decade really going deep with this and interviewing 1,000 people about it. It was born first out of, I don't want to feel this way anymore. But yeah, I'm deeply grateful for it. The reason I started my blog that became the company Bulletproof was that I didn't want anyone to go through what I went through again. And if only 5 people ever read the blog and it helped them, it would have been worth it. And the fact that a lot more than 5 people have become familiar with my work is I'm just grateful for it every day. And yeah, it feels great.
And so are so many other people, you know. And in the introduction, you write that this book is the most deeply personal of all of your books. Why is that? In what way is it deeply more personal than your other books?
Well, I talk a lot about what happens in your head and even spiritually when you're really heavy. And I realized that I was afraid of being hungry because someone had told me long ago, if you don't eat 6 or 8 times a day, you'll go into starvation mode, which means you'll die of starvation, and then you'll get fatter. And I didn't want to be fatter. I was afraid of that. But also, I knew that I would really get hypoglybitchy if I didn't eat, and I would be mean, and I didn't want to be a jerk anymore. So I talk about that, and even fear of loneliness. And I hired a shaman to drop me in a cave for 4 days with no people and no food, so at least if I got really tweaked, I could do it all by myself without acting like a jerk to anyone.
Yeah, that was one of my questions to, you know, touch on that. We talked about it the last time you were on, but being dropped into that cave, you were in there for how many days? And was that really when the
train? I was in it for 4 days.
4 days. And you only had, what did you wear? I can't remember. It's just like a little, a pair of shorts.
A fleece and, you know, cargo pants.
Okay.
A sleeping bag and a lighter and a knife and some water.
Yeah, that's it. A sleeping bag, a knife and water. Did you ever have to kill anything with the knife?
I think the knife was there mostly to make me feel good. I mean, you'd be kind of dumb to go spend 4 days in the desert without you know, basic survival stuff. But really, there were no threats. But man, I sure scared myself in that cave.
No, I absolutely agree. That wouldn't be very smart to go out in the wilderness without at least having a way to defend yourself. But, you know, in your book, Fastest Way, you write about the joy of going without. Can we talk about that?
The real definition of fasting is to go without. There's no rule that says fasting means you only have water. In fact, there's a kind of fast that also has no water. It's called a dry fast. So what we do as humans is we learn that we need something. And then if we don't get it, we get stressed and anxious and fearful. And this all happens before we think about it. These aren't rational things. They're irrational. It's part of the operating system that all animals have to keep our meat alive. Mm-hmm. So with fasting, if you think you need to eat all the time and you don't get it, it creates stress. But when you realize, wait, I won't starve to death for about 3 months. Mm-hmm. And if I feel like I'm starving at 11 a.m. and all I can think about is tacos, well, you're not alone. It's because in the book, In Fastest Way, I found a study that I talk about where 15% of the average person's thoughts are about what's for their next meal. When you learn how to intermittent fast, especially with the hacks that are in the book, you realize, wait a minute, I was totally getting stressed about this, but now I have no thoughts about food. And your body just stops worrying about it. And you get 15% of your brain energy back to think about something that matters more than what's for lunch, because you know lunch is coming.
What did you find when you were alone in that cave and going without? What happened in your mind that you can share with us that was profound? Let's put it that way. The most profound thing that you learned.
When you use fasting as a spiritual practice, which is different than a working fast for energy, you can't do both at the same time. Either you rest and you reflect or you don't. So during the spiritual fast, you become really aware of all the racing thoughts in your head. And at a certain point, you can laugh at yourself and be like, why is my brain doing this right now? Like, why am I obsessing over food? I know I'm okay. Why am I obsessing over things that I'm blowing up to be dangerous that aren't dangerous? And as an example, I heard a rustling noise at night and I was just kind of losing it. Mm-hmm. A little bird had nested near the cave where I was, nocturnal bird. And I was like waking up, oh my God, it's a cougar. It's a bear. Oh. Who knows what this is? And what you realize is that you make mountains out of molehills all day, every day, and you do it automatically. And when you realize, wait, I'm way safer than I thought I was or than I felt I was, it creates a sense of peace. And that can lead to a spiritual state called equanimity, where you realize, you know what? I've got this. And because I was heavy, when you're heavy like that, your body is taking energy that's supposed to go into you having energy to handle what life brings your way, and instead it puts it into love handles. And that means you're lower energy, and it means you're relying more on willpower, which itself relies on energy. So it's really a stressful situation to be in. Mm-hmm. And I helped to achieve that state of equanimity, which is one where I know I've got this. I have enough energy to handle this, and I can be calm and focused and remain myself even if I'm hungry, even if I'm not thinking bad thoughts about other people who don't even know I'm thinking bad thoughts about them. And it gave me a chance to just go through and say, you know, I can use fasting as a way to turn up my sensors, my ability to sense the environment around me, to turn up the free energy to do the work on myself. And that's what I learned in the cave.
I'm loving this conversation, and I know that our listeners are too. We're going to go for a quick break. More coming up with Dave Asprey, the founder and chairman of Bulletproof 360 and the father of biohacking. We will be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
On social media at One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we have Dave Asprey continuing on with us. He is the founder and chairman of Bulletproof 360, a high-performance coffee and food company, and creator of the widely popular Bulletproof Coffee. He's a four-time New York Times best-selling author with books like Superhuman, Game Changers, Headstrong, The Bulletproof Diet, Bulletproof, The Cookbook, and Bulletproof Radio, of course, is his podcast, and it's It's so great to have him with us here today. Over the last two decades, Dave, the father of biohacking, has worked with world-renowned doctors, researchers, scientists, and global mavericks to uncover the latest, most innovative methods, techniques, and products for enhancing mental and physical performance. His websites are DaveAsprey.com or FastThisWay.com, which is the name of his new book that we're talking about today. It's incredible to have him with us. You know, Dave, you're an interesting guy. You really are. And you've got so much knowledge to share with people. We only have a few minutes. What do you want people to know about you and about fasting?
Well, let's talk about fasting first. People know a lot of stuff about me. I'm pretty public. The thing to know about fasting is that when you first think about it, like, why would I ever want to do that? That sounds terrible. But fasting is like if you went into the bank and you didn't have an account there and you walk in the door and they give you money just for walking in the door. And they say, oh, don't worry, we'll give you interest on that money later today and we'll give you interest again next year. And you scratch your head and say, but don't I have to make an investment first? And the answer is no. When you fast the right way, that's the title of the book, the first time you do it, you have more energy and less cravings and distractions that morning. So you didn't spend any money, any time, or any energy on fasting, but you got more energy and focus. And then later, you didn't get type 2 diabetes or the diseases of aging. Mm-hmm. I'm about to interview someone who's been intermittent fasting for 59 years. She's 81, and you wouldn't know she's 81 because this works over time. But you feel better this morning. It's not about being cold and hungry and hangry and hypoglycemic. That is a story in your head. When you have the techniques down right, it's just easier.
Well, yeah, and you know, speaking of easier, this helps with your circadian rhythm as well. And so can we talk for a moment about how to do a circadian reset fast?
Yes, this is a chapter in Fast This Way that was so impactful for me. I've always been a night owl. That's when I write my books. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't work well when I need to drop my kids off in school in the morning. So I turn myself into a morning person. And the most powerful signal for when you're going to go to sleep and how well you'll sleep is light. But the second most powerful signal is food. 2 billion years ago, when we were basically a little bacteria floating in the ocean, well, we had the most food and the most light between noon and 2 p.m. So if you want to go to bed earlier, eat earlier before bed. Have your stomach empty for longer and make sure it's darker before you go to bedtime. And there's a kind of glasses from one of my companies, a patented form called True Dark Glasses, that will cut out the type of light. And light is a nutrient, just like food is. It'll cut out the type of light that makes you want to stay up late at night. So when you eat towards the middle of the day and you leave at least 3 and ideally 4 or 5 hours after dinner before you go to sleep, your sleep is better. But more importantly, you get more lined up with when the sun comes up. And that can really affect your health, even your ability to regulate your blood sugar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, in the book, you write about supplements, too. There's a whole chapter on supplements to fine-tune your body. We've got about 4 minutes. But what are the top supplements that you think that everyone out there listening must take?
You really want to be taking magnesium. Almost everyone is deficient in magnesium, and it makes fasting better. It makes your cells better able to make energy. And you need energy during a fast. That energy is going to come from the stored fat in your body, which is a really fantastic thing to do. Another one that is critically important is vitamin D3, especially during winter when it's normally cold and flu season. And when you take vitamin D3, though, you want to take vitamin K2 along with it, which is something that helps keep calcium in your bones where it belongs instead of in your arteries where it doesn't belong. And a lot of people think you can't have any supplements during a fast, but there is a supplement called proteolytic enzymes or protein digesting enzymes. Since you're going to be skipping breakfast, your body is going to be working on removing old stuff from the body and cleaning up your cells. This type of enzyme, and there's several different formulas I mentioned in the book, it'll actually help your body go in and clean up the stuff, the old scar tissue, debris around and inside of your cells. And that debris actually contributes to aging. So you might as well get a better cleaning of your body during your fast by taking the right supplements.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested to hear the podcast of the woman for 59 years she's fasted. What a fascinating story at 81. And so, you know, to many people, though, Dave, fasting means suffering. Is it possible to change such a deep-rooted belief?
The first time you fast using the hacks that are in Fast This Way, you realize this isn't very hard. With the 30,000 people who are doing the free fasting training, this is at fastestway.com, the feedback has been, I can't believe I just went 24 hours without food and I didn't worry. I didn't have any stress. It was easy. That's how to do it. If someone who's metabolically unfit the way I used to be was to sit down and say, I'm only going to drink water for 24 hours, it's going to be miserable. It just doesn't have to be. We can still get the biological benefits. There are things you can drink or eat during a fast that allow you to stay fasted without the distraction. A working fast, when you have a kid hanging off each arm at home, not at school, you're trying to focus on your work, you already have enough stress. So adding stress with just having a water fast, it's probably not a good thing to do. But I do teach people how to do a spiritual fast where you set aside 2 days for yourself and you really go deep on a fast. They're just different things. So suffering is optional only if you want to.
Mm-hmm. I love that answer. And I know in your book, you write at the end, fast and peace. I love that. You have so many great little phrases that that you share with your followers. And I just feel that you're so fortunate to be in the position that you are and be able to share all of this wonderful information through your books. And I just want to say thank you personally myself for all the books that you've written and all the information and knowledge that you've shared with people out there listening. So especially today, thank you so much, Dave Asprey, everyone.
You're so welcome. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, and sorry about the choppy beginning, and but you know that happens in radio, especially when it's live. Everyone, I encourage you to follow Dave Asprey. Go to his website, daveasprey.com, fastthisway.com, or on Instagram, at Dave Asprey. His new book, Fast This Way, is amazing. Get yourself a copy and change your life, everyone, because you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Fast in peace, brother.